things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Witchy ghost stuff.
These ding-dongs. I can't.
Spooky Girl Amateur Hour.
Well, hello, my friends. This is CK from the Mirths and Monsters podcast. Join me, my companion Finn, and my occasionally satanically possessed cat Ray,
Puny Mortals,
as we investigate the real truths behind some of the most wonderful creatures you can imagine. Are trolls really that thick? Or is it just bad press? Are leprechauns really drunken bums? Sort of. But there's a lot more to find out. All you need to do is tune in to Mirths and Monsters podcast with me and Finn. Till next time, slancha, your good health.
Hi, Donut.
Hi, Donut.
Welcome to the podcast, buddy.
You have at least two fans online, and one of them is me.
Yep, you're so popular.
He's sitting in his bed right where he belongs.
Not for long.
No, I'm sure he'll have something to say in a moment, but
for sure.
For now, he's right where he belongs. And Taylor, you are right where you belong.
And Jenny, you are right where you belong.
Thank you for the validation.
Recording our, we're back on a new cycle.
Yeah.
This is our first cycle of cycle two.
We survived like a whole cycle.
Yeah.
We did it. We didn't flounder too much.
Not too much.
Some audio troubles.
A little bit. It only took me like 5 minutes to get set up today. So I think we're on the up and up.
We're really doing it.
We're doing better.
We're doing the damn thing.
We are doing the damn thing.
And this
is... Doing the dang old thing.
Doing the dang old 1012 thing. And we're here to talk about Spooky Girl Amateur Hour.
Ooh, yeah.
It's our second paranormal.
It is. By the way, welcome to A Little Bit Grim, the name of our podcast.
It's the thing that you clicked on to listen to us right now.
Yeah, you did click on it, so I hope you know what it is. But we're here to remind you.
We're here just to remind you, in case you forgot, that things get a little bit grim.
They do. Yeah, and they definitely get a little bit grim in my story, and I can't wait to tell you about it.
I got real jazzed up about mine, and I spiraled.
Did you spiral down a whole rabbit hole?
So I'm alone right now. My nights are spent alone. Mm-hmm. And when I was like researching this, I literally got so spooked that I couldn't sleep.
Oh no.
I know. I had to put on like Say Yes to the Dress.
Okay.
Or yeah. Some other like
nonsense.
Yeah. To be like, no, there's no demons in my apartment.
I understand that fully. I have definitely gone down that rabbit hole in the past where I'm like wide awake in my bed, like,
I have the keys.
Oh no. And I do have a husband, but he works third shift. So I also sleep alone. He's not there. And if I woke him up and I was like, babe, I think there's a demon, he'd be like, go to sleep, you absolute psycho.
Oh, it's just, you know, I will say I'm like hardened to spooky ghost stuff. It takes a lot for me to get even heaped out a little bit. Plus, my house is like a crystal power grid and I'm like warded from floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
Nothing is getting in my home. But nonetheless, spooked.
See, I already have a ghost. So I have told her she can stay. So that's fine.
Shout out to Miss Catherine, Taylor's ghost.
Hey, Catherine. But I just want her to let me sleep at night. That's all I want. She can stay. She can move stuff. That's okay. Just please don't wake me up because it freaks me out.
As previously mentioned, ghosts are fucking disrespectful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, she was mad because we were messing with the house and we found a problem with the house and we were blaming her husband because it was his fault. But Ryan, my husband, and I were talking like pretty loudly and pretty disrespectfully, I will say, about Catherine's husband who is still alive, and she was mad, I think, that we were talking about him, and so she would wake me up in the middle of the night by clapping.
That's what you get for shit-talking her man.
I know, and I understand that. So I apologized. I told her she could stay. I just told her that I really wanted him to fix the leak, which he did.
So,
and I haven't really heard much of her since then. So I think she's there. I think she's chilling. I think she's fine. I hope that all is well on her side of the world.
I'm sure they're just fine.
I'm sure they're fine. So am I starting today?
Is that you what are. We decided? Taylor's turn.
Okay. So I'm telling you about a hotel today.
Love that.
And I'm very excited because this is a hotel we have not stayed at, but we've definitely seen in person. It's the Congress Plaza Hotel in Chicago.
Oh my God.
I know. And every time I pass it, I'm like, I want to stay there because it looks very old because it is very old.
Ooh.
It's the one that's vintage. Got like the big neon signs and the two towers.
Is it on Lake?
No, it is on Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but we can see it when we are like coming into the city.
Got it.
So we pass it pretty often. So the Congress Plaza Hotel was built in 1893. And the purpose of building it was to house the influx of visitors expected for the World's Fair. So that... what?
Mm.
Oh,
I just... I love the World's Fair.
I love the idea of a World's Fair.
I do. Why don't we have that anymore?
Terrorism.
Oh, got it.
I think.
Well, fuck.
Okay. I don't know. But yeah, so the World's Fair is what caused them to build this hotel. It's located at 520 South Michigan Avenue. It was originally named the Auditorium Annex and was renamed the Congress Plaza Hotel in 1908, so after the fair was over. It has 871 rooms and has two towers, the North Tower and the South Tower. In 2016, Leisure and Travel magazine ranked the Congress Plaza Hotel as the most haunted location in Illinois.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, spook. The fair was intended to show the world how it had bounced back from the Great Fire of 1871, which we will cover in a future episode.
Taylor has dibs.
I do. Mostly because Jenny has already told me this story as we were coming home from Chicago and I was very sick and I needed a distraction. So Jenny Wikipedia'd the Great Chicago Fire and read it to me to soothe my soul. And it helped. But this is actually the same time period that H.H. Holmes was active in Chicago.
Ooh, I love him.
I know. So this is not his hotel, but he got a lot of his inspiration from this hotel. So he would walk the hotel and get ideas and be like, you know what I should do? Build a hotel during the World's Fair. So that's where he got a lot of his victims, but the inspiration for his hotel was the Congress Plaza.
Wow.
Yeah. The Congress also served as a home to Al Capone, who had a suite on the 8th floor of the North Tower. Capone's spirit is said to still haunt the hotel to this very day.
Oh.
We'll get back into Al Capone here in a little bit. But first, I want to tell you about this woman named Adele Langer. In August of 1939, Adele Langer was a depressed 43-year-old mother of two. The boys she had were 4.5 and 6. They had been forced to leave Czechoslovakia due to the Nazi occupation, which is a huge bummer. So her husband...
I love that the world has reached such a point of trauma that we're now referring to Nazi occupations as a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Listen, 2020 has been a doozy.
Hi, this is Pandora. Welcome to my unboxing video.
Every month, a new box. We just don't know what's in it until I open it. Hell, that's what's in it. So Adele's husband, Carl, it's spelled K-A-R-E-L, but I feel like that's Carl.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. So he sold off his super profitable company in Europe and hoped to start over in Canada. And they had a pit stop in Chicago to like reevaluate their assets before they could start over in Canada. But it was taking longer than they thought it would to kind of start over and get set up. And he said that Adele often spoke of suicide and mentioned that she would take the babies with her.
Ooh.
Yeah, so not a great, thing to throw around there. And there are a lot of different stories about what happened, a lot of different rumors about this specific story. But... as a journalism minor, shout out IPFW, I was very much like, I'm getting a lot of different like ideas about what this could have been, what happened here, what the true story was. And there was an inkling in my soul that said, this didn't happen. This is one of those ghost stories that happens to every hotel. Like
a bride
killed herself on the eve of her wedding. Like all hauntings have that one story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is an urban legend. So I did some Google searching and I didn't even have really a name at this point, but I found the news article.
Oh, My God.
Yeah. I got deep.
Taylor, your journalism nerdiness is showing so hard.
I ran downstairs with this printed out piece of paper in my hand to show Ryan, and he doesn't give a shit about any of this at all. But we're in quarantine, so I can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And I like run downstairs and I'm like, look what I found. And he was like, what is this? And I was like, I found the article that has this woman in it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this article is from the Chicago Tribune, August 5th,
1939. Ooh, so long ago.
I know. I was, oh man. There's like ads on this piece of paper, everything, all kinds of good stuff.
Like Sears Roebuck catalogs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So this was printed on August 5th, the day before, August 4th. She checked into the Congress Plaza Hotel. And threw her boys out of a 13th floor window before leaping to her own death.
Oh.
And all three died. Which, not great.
What were the, do you know the ages by any chance?
Yeah, the boys were 4.5 and 6.
Oh, God.
And she was 43. Yeah. But all of the other stories that I listened to or read said that Adele got to the United States. Her husband had stayed in Europe, that he was waiting for her, or he was like trying to get all of his stuff figured out, and then he was going to come here, and then he never showed up. And that's what caused her to commit suicide. But he was here. He was interviewed for the newspaper. And that's where the quote I got that said she often talked of suicide.
Something sounds suspicious.
Yeah.
But,
well,
it would probably be difficult to reopen a suicide from 1939. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, he is interviewed in this article, and we'll post a picture of this on Instagram if you would like to go check it out, if anybody else geeks out like me and totally freaked out when I found this.
You bunch of nerds.
Oh my gosh. Like, the investigation part of me got so deep into this. I probably spent more time looking for the truth in that one ghost than I did writing the rest of my notes. Like an absolute crazy person.
That sounds like very fitting of you, Taylor.
People are gonna know that I don't do anything at a level 2.
No. Oh my God. No. That, I think, might be one of like your biggest character traits. Like, it's for sure top 3 that if you decide to do it, you are doing 11 out of 10. There's no, you have no chill.
No. Mm-mm. I don't like anything just a little bit.
No.
No.
Nope. It's zero or everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully people like that in me. If you don't, then I don't know what to tell you. I can't change it.
You just better fuck off.
Yes. Just go somewhere else, because you're getting 11 out of 10 all the time. Okay. So one of the rumors that I was not able to prove or disprove,
okay,
was that one of the boys' bodies did not make it to the morgue.
Ooh.
So I don't know what would have happened to it, but that is one of the rumors that was heavily speculated upon, like a lot of different articles that I read.
Okay.
But I couldn't, like, that's not mentioned in the news article. Nothing other, like, actual solid proof I was able to find.
I mean, was there like a body left to take?
I don't know.
This is a little dark. If this is too dark, future Taylor, play soothing whale noises while I tell this. I picture people jumping from a building as like water balloons, where like you hit and you explode.
Like a True Blood vampire getting staked?
Yes, exactly that. Yeah. Is that not what happens?
I don't think so. I mean, I've never seen it in person. I feel like they get flat.
9/11.
Yeah. They get flat. I don't know what happens. Like, I think that you can still, like, tell it's a person.
Do you, like, pick it up as, like, a body? Or do you, like, shovel it up?
I think you pick it up. It's still got, like, tendons and stuff.
Oh, that's wild.
Ugh, like, your bones and stuff are still, like,
human connected. Bodies are disgusting. We're just sacks of meat. Okay, continue.
Okay. So, it is not proven, but it is said that he still haunts the hotel and he likes to rearrange furniture. And people will see a little boy running around. So, that is very sad and grim, but that's what we signed up for. All right, so let's talk about gangster activity.
Ooh, hell yeah.
All right, so Al Capone, he is said to have run his business through the hotel. So it said he purchased the entire 8th floor. I also found things that said he purchased the entire hotel under a pseudonym or under an anonymous name. So believe what you want to believe. I like to believe that he bought the whole hotel.
Yeah.
So some of the victims from the St. Valentine's Day Massacre are said to roam the halls, and Al Capone was responsible for that massacre. And he is frequently spotted at the bar.
Of course he is.
Like a true gangster.
What a fitting place for him to be, the king of bootleg whiskey.
I would love to be like a couple martinis in and like look over and be like, oh shit, Al Capone.
Yo, what up?
Hey, what up, man?
You did some shit.
Yeah, bro.
You should have got that penicillin shot for that syphilis, bud.
Yeah. Did you in. Okay, so there's a couple of rooms that are more haunted than others. So there's the Gold Room. It's a banquet hall used for weddings. It is said that a worker got plastered into one of the walls and suffocated to death. And now you see his ghostly hand reach out from behind the wall in the coat closet.
I need more details about how the fuck that happened.
I couldn't find it.
Okay. Listen, if you can't find it, it doesn't exist.
So what some of the other podcasts that I listened to and articles that I read said that he got drunk and fell behind and they didn't see him. And he got put in. Okay. All right.
I could buy that.
Laying down? Okay. The only thing I don't buy is a man just standing there being like, hey, don't put that there. Don't do that.
Don't drywall me in. Please, no.
Yeah, which happens in an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It is amazing. It's called A Room with a View is the episode.
Somebody got drywalled in?
Yeah, and mother drywalls her son into an apartment because she doesn't want him to get married. And then Cordelia Chase moves in to this apartment, is haunted by Dennis the Ghost. It's one of my favorite episodes. It's actually an Angel, not in Buffy, but the spinoff show. Highly recommend.
Oh my god.
All right. So, okay. Haunted. This is...
Just to briefly summarize,
haunted. Yeah. This is a piano room, and rumor has it when bridesmaids gather around the piano for photos, sometimes they don't all show up in the photos. Ooh. That got me creeped out for a minute. I was like...
That gave me full body goosebumps. Also, if I was the bridesmaid that did not show up in that photo, I would be pissed.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And I would also, as the, like, if I were a bridesmaid, I would be like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, if I saw another bridesmaid just not show up, I'd be like, where were you?
Right. What, you did not adhere to the schedule.
A time and place. A time and place.
Mr. Sister, where were you?
Yeah, so that just super freaks me out. Especially, like, I'm sure it's one of the girls on the ends because those are like easy pickings. But yeah. If it was like a random bridesmaid, like the just maid like of honor gap. Next to the bride, like she's like gone.
Ooh, she's a vampire.
Ooh. Yeah. That'd be a good book. Like a good like romance book. Like a vampire bridesmaid.
The friend who's never in the photos.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, so there's another room. It's called the Florentine Room. It's another hall for weddings. When people are alone in the room, they say that they hear a female voice whisper in their ear, and the security team reports hearing chairs moving, voices, knocks, even though the room is locked.
I want to get married in a haunted bridal hall. Yeah,
let's do it.
Okay, you already got married.
Oh yeah, well, you can still get married, and I'll be there.
I'll consider it.
Okay, just like maybe.
Not you being there. Of course, if I get married, you will be there.
Okay, all right. Okay. I was like, wait. You're going to consider me?
No. I'll consider
getting married. We got
holy matrimony.
Okay.
Don't rush me into stuff. I get itchy.
You know I wouldn't. Okay. So there's a guy named Peg Leg Johnny. Of course. Why not? There's always need to be a ghost with a stupid ass name. I can't. Okay, this guy made me laugh. So not a lot is known about this spirit other than he likes to cause just like general havoc.
Okay, well.
For guests, and some believe that he was murdered in the hotel, but all the things that I read about him, he was just giving me like major Peeves vibes. Just roaming around, like causing chaos, just not caring about any other people's like personal items at all. He's just like fucking with shit.
How much more unnerving would a set of ghostly footsteps be if there was only one?
Oh, God. Like, thump, click. Thump, click. No!
Yeah.
Oh, God. So there is a room called room 441. This is the hotel's most haunted area. No other room gets the amount of security calls that comes from 441. This room is located on the south tower and is haunted by a female spirit. Witnesses say she manifests at the end of your bed and kicks the bed to wake you up. No thank you.
She sounds like Catherine.
Yeah, if Catherine ever kicks my bed, I'm sorry, we're exercising my house. You can no longer stay. Don't touch my stuff and don't wake me up.
Give her an inch, she takes a mile.
Yeah. No one knows why she's there. No one has been murdered in this room or has committed suicide. So they're not sure why she's picked this specific room to chill in, which I thought was interesting because, like we talked about earlier, there's so many stories that go along with these ghosts. I'm surprised that over time nobody has made up
one
a story for her. So thought that was interesting. Then there is an undisclosed room on the 12th floor. There's a room on the 12th floor that is locked. It does not even have a doorknob. And you can, like, see people, like, roaming this hotel on, like, YouTube and stuff. And there's a door. It's got locks on it, but no doorknob.
Locks on the inside or the outside?
The outside. And not even the staff enter it. It's so haunted.
Why?
There have been like attacks on people. There have been a lot of EMFs happen there. Like, all of the equipment always goes crazy near that room. But, yeah, there was not a whole lot of information other than, like, people won't go in there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, last but not least, I thought it would be fun to read you some haunted reviews that I found on Yelp.
I would be mad if you didn't.
Okay, great. I have two for you. So, I found these on Yelp. So our first one says, upon our return home, I did some further research on this hotel. I found out that it is at the top 10 most haunted hotels in America. Before knowing of this, however, the first night while in my shower, my wife and daughter heard a strange sound from under the bed. I checked, saw nothing, and laughed it off. The last night of our stay there, there we were in bed and it was very quiet. All of a sudden we heard a knocking sound on the headboard. To this day, I cannot explain what happened. I had the feeling the whole time that there was someone in there that would pop out of the walls. It was that eerie. The one elevator had the 13th floor, and the other elevator was numbered 22, 33, 44, and 66. Made no sense. After getting home and reading about the hotel, there are other strange events as well. I'm glad that we did not know about them ahead of time.
I got full body goosebumps. I love that.
Okay, so the second review. The first thing I did when I walked in was text my boyfriend, "This room smells like death." Little did I know that I was right. I would have requested a different room, but I was only there for one night, so I decided to suck it up and deal with the situation. After a business dinner and working in the lobby with a colleague, I returned to my room around midnight. I got ready for bed, locked the door with the chain lock, filled up a water bottle, and placed it next to the lamp and the telephone on the nightstand next to me. I sent my last text at 1:08 a.m. and then went to sleep. I immediately had nightmares of ghosts trying to enter reality by trying to possess my mind and using my room's phone and electricity as a portal. I woke up at 2:40 a.m. screaming, only to find that the lamp next to me had been switched on, the lampshade turned almost upside down, and the water bottle completely empty with the cap still on.
Yikes. Oh. Oh, no. Listen, Mr. Sister, that is one of those dreams that also bleeds into reality.
Yep.
I can't. Oh, that's so spooky.
So she says, I've never been so scared in my life. I picked up my iPhone and searched for other hotels to transfer to, but not more than 30 seconds before my phone, which was plugged in, switched itself off. So I would have left my room and my hotel altogether, but at this point I was simply terrified to move, and it's like 3 a.m. I'm not religious, but the only way I survived the night was by staying awake and praying. I did fall asleep the last time from about 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., only to have another nightmare. This time, it was just about one ghost, a male, luring me over to the window. I've never been so eager to leave a hotel before, but this place is so haunted, I strongly discourage anyone from staying there. The next day, I told my boss about my experience since she was staying in the hotel as well, but in a different wing. And she told me she had almost the exact same experience, the same nightmare, about the window. We looked up the hotel to read about the deaths that have happened here. It's so freaky. I would have written this review sooner, but I honestly didn't want to think about it. Ah! So that is the story of the Congress Plaza Hotel in Chicago, and I think that we should stay there.
I was just going to say, but, like, when's the next time we're allowed to go to Chicago?
When can we leave?
When can we leave? Also, the soup dumplings from that place in Chinatown, Taylor, they're so good.
Oh, sprinkles cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
I need a cupcake.
I mean, okay. I like sprinkles, don't get me wrong.
It's my jam.
But the soup dumplings.
The soup dumplings.
And Water Tower. We haven't got... I miss Chicago. That made me miss Chicago a lot.
I know. I think that's part of the reason why I chose it. Because Chicago is always close to my heart.
It's near and dear. It's like the place that we go.
Yeah.
It's like our... Well, you go there with... You are there all the time. You go there a lot more frequently than I do.
It's such a good time. I miss it.
Beautiful. I don't even like big cities.
I love a big city. I would rather go to a big city than go, like, on vacation somewhere, like, mountainy or beachy.
I would always rather vacation, like, vacation long term, to a little seaside shanty town where it's, like, 80 degrees,
yeah,
and I can drink margaritas on the beach. That's always small town,
thing. The place that Ryan and I really liked on our honeymoon was Monterey Bay in California, which does have that very small town feel. Everything there is expensive AF.
Welcome to California.
So you cannot afford to live there. But that was our favorite place in California. It was so cute, and so everything was... like, locally owned. It's so pretty there.
Well, speaking of small towns.
Yeah.
I'm about to tell you about another old building.
Okay.
In a small town.
Okay.
I'm about to tell you about the Ancient Ram Inn.
Okay. I have never heard of this.
You have probably never heard of it because it was built in 1145.
Oh, okay. That's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago, but there are... Let me get there.
Yeah, you just tell me everything.
So, it's been the residence of a priest. It's been an inn.
Okay.
It's been a public house, like courthouse, jury, judge, justice, that kind of like town hall. A failed bed and breakfast.
Interesting.
And the personal home of John Humphreys. It is located in Wotton-under-Edge in Gloucester.
Yeah.
I had to Google that.
Yeah.
There are so many letters.
Extra letters.
It reads Gloucestershire. It's pronounced Gloucester. It's in England. The building is debatedly older than being built in 1145. The first written record of the inn... was in 1142, although the St. Mary's Church, which is just steps away from the inn, was built around 940.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound like a real year, but it is.
Yeah.
940. And the inn housed the masons, slaves, and workers who constructed the St. Mary's Church. So it's debatedly a lot older than being built in 1145. The most frequently told story about the Ancient Ram Inn is about the witch who was burned at the stake. The burning occurred in the 1500s at the height of the persecution of those who did not practice government-sanctioned Christianity, which was recently implemented during the reign of everyone's favorite wife-killing king, King Henry VIII.
I love that whole time period.
It's... horrifying, and so intriguing.
Yeah. You know, Anne Boleyn gets a bad rap, but what was she supposed to do?
Right, Catherine of Aragon, she married the brother, and then she married, like, King Henry VIII, and, like, she didn't want to fucking be there.
No.
She didn't want to marry either of those guys. So, the spirit of this poor woman is said to be tied to this building because she took refuge in the inn before her capture and then subsequent execution. The room is now called the Witch's Room that she stayed in. She is said to harbor anger and malice towards all those who enter her space. And a passerby outside on the street took a photo of the house as he was walking past the garden. And the photo shows a twisted face that is clearly not entirely human peering out at the sidewalk below. So we'll post that on our Instagram.
Ooh, I want to see it. I'm scared.
So the land sits on the intersection of two ley lines, which I mentioned ley lines before in our first paranormal episode, and now I will cover ley lines eventually at some point. But they are areas that are believed to amplify spiritual energy. And prior to the construction of the ancient Ram Inn, the land also served as a pagan burial ground dating back 5,000 years.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, indeed. And in the ley lines that the ancient Ram Inn sits on is the same set of ley lines that passes through Stonehenge.
Oh, okay.
Which is really nearby. And Baths, if you're familiar with the ancient city of Baths. So it's tied to water. It's tied to all the spiritual energy. During the construction of the St. Mary's Church, streams that flowed through the grounds of the inn had to be redirected. And many people believe that diverting the water opened up a space for dark energy to connect to the land, which heightened due to the ambient energy of the ley lines. So I know there's, in like Supernatural, or even I think it's brought up in True Blood, there's a lot of like folklore about running water and how spirits can't cross. It's the idea of the River Styx from Dante's Inferno, that spirits can't cross running water. So they think that by moving the flow of the water away from this land that sat on the ley lines that served as pagan ritual ground, drew and attracted and then glued all of this energy to the land.
I just got like full body goosebumps, like, oh God, oh, it's not a good idea.
So our good friend John Humphreys purchased the inn in 1968 and has been the owner ever since.
Okay.
John, his wife, and his three daughters made plans to turn this historic site into a bed and breakfast in the sleepy town. He was made aware of the presence of something more nefarious in his home on his very first night.
Oof.
John was dragged out of his bed onto the floor and across the room by his feet.
Nope.
During the restoration process of his brand new home, John discovered skeletal remains of children.
Nope.
And evidence of ritual sacrifice and devil worship underneath the staircase. With the remains of the children, broken daggers were found, which he believes were intentionally broken so they could never be used in another sacrifice again. Just as a side note, this is not in my notes, but I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know the old, like, colloquialism, like, the blood of a virgin or, like, a virgin sacrifice?
Uh-huh.
That is actually not at all related to the fact if somebody has had, like, sexual intercourse with somebody. That is not what it's referring to. It's referring to when you make a blood sacrifice that the blood used in the ritual has never been used in another ritual.
Oh, okay.
So, just as a side note, I'm sure that'll come up later down the road. So, John Humphreys, and his dreams of an operational bed and breakfast were dashed when nearly every single renter left in the middle of the night, unnerved by sounds, scratches, nightmares, and physical attacks.
That's terrifying.
John would suffer yet another blow when his wife and three daughters left him in the home behind, unwilling to suffer through another night of being terrorized by the evil energy within the ancient Ram's Inn. Since that day, John has remained the sole occupant. And he has spent the sunset years of his life hell-bent on preserving the site. A labor of love, or maybe, like, insanity?
Yeah.
He claims to this day that he is still terrorized and attacked by the evil dwelling alongside him, noting a specific instance where one of the more nefarious energies in the house, an incubus, sexually assaulted him.
Ah!
In the home.
That made me scared.
It's...
I don't like it.
So,
oh no.
Of all the beings who take up residence in this home, but also pay no fucking rent, There's a long roster.
Okay.
Up to 20 separate and distinguishable ghosts call the ancient ram home, and you can tell which one is doing what because they all have very specific ways of interacting with the world around them. Like, there's one that just does, like, messes with the electronics and the lights. There's one that twists objects in the home. There's one that moves furniture.
I don't like it.
I know. Both an incubus and a succubus are also present. They are fluid in their preference of their victims. If you are not familiar with an incubi and a succubi, they are the masculine and feminine version of the same being, which is a demon that sexually assaults and or rapes people in their sleep for the purpose of impregnating them with their demon seed.
Pass.
Keep that in the back of your head because they're about to come back up in the immediate future. Because I will soon cover my very fucking favorite she-devil folklore girl, Lilith.
Jenny has been talking about covering Lilith since the day we decided we were going to start a podcast.
I'm straight up obsessed with her. And she is portrayed so many different ways in, like, media now. But she is such a badass back in the... Let me cut myself off.
Yeah. You're going to get too ahead of yourself.
I am. I'm going to tell you about Lilith right now. And then let me just tell you about this. So multiple guests have claimed to have been pushed down on the bed and assaulted by these incubi and succubi. And one of these patrons was so deeply disturbed and troubled by the spiritual onslaught that they threw themselves out of the window.
Oh.
So... the powerful energy of a pagan high priestess also haunts the inn. The numerous paranormal investigators are advised to bring religious accoutrement with them to try and level the playing field against the power of her presence. Holy water, Bibles, and a crucifix are often encouraged, and sometimes, you know, you can't enter without these kinds of items under regular haunting circumstances. And if wielded by those who, like, subscribe to Christian teachings, these items are able to ward off all assorted flavors of evil. However, in the ancient ram's head, they're only able to control a minuscule amount of the barrage that people get when they walk through. They don't dispel the violent physical attacks, the mental warfare. They don't dissuade attachment to those who are investigating. John Humphreys himself does not leave or enter a room without his Bible clutched to his chest.
It's just, I don't understand why he's still there. Is it just because he wants to protect the history, or is he attached to one of these demons?
That, I think, is a really, really good question.
Yikes.
Hold on. Okay. Let's delve into that in a minute.
All right.
So, during a recent paranormal investigation, a blood-curdling child's scream was captured on EVP just second after another EVP of a man's voice was heard saying, "Get out." Another investigator on the team remarked that a presence pressed itself against his back, and the wooden staircase handrail vibrated and trembled underneath his hand. And those experiences should be the least of your worries if you're ever here. In John's old age, his daughter Carolyn is now the primary caretaker of the house. He's around 85 years old now. And she vows to never spend another night inside.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, she was so terrified that she slept in the family van outside of the home.
Oh, sweetie.
She recalls waking from the dead of sleep to see a chest of drawers hovering over her bed. And seconds later... it was thrown down the staircase. The bishop's room, which when this served as the residence of a priest, is debatedly the most active room in the house. It is said to have the majority of the demonic activity. A lot of the incubus and succubus activity happened in this room. And before the restoration was halted, when he found the child remains, a hollowed space behind the original rocks of this room. So there's, if you go on YouTube... there are videos of non-paranormal investigators just walking through the home.
Okay.
And it is all the original stone masonry and the wooden beams that it's all the original structure because he was so hellbent on preserving the house. So before they stopped that process, they found in the original rocks a hollowed out space. And when they pulled the rocks away from the space, they found horseshoes, quote unquote.
Okay.
However, they were way too small to be a horse.
Okay.
And they were too big to be for like a goat, but goats don't wear horseshoes right. anyway. And it was thick, heavy iron.
Were they trying to make a pony taller?
No, it's no.
Dang it.
John says that it might be a shoe from one of the devil's cloven hooves.
Oh, shit. Okay.
There are rumors of members of the Hellfire Club.
Okay.
Using the ancient Rams Inn as a little bit of like an informal meeting place for their devil worship and sacrifice.
Ooh, like now or when was that happening?
So the Hellfire, we'll cover them again in a later episode. It is a whole thing that was like, think how we know the Freemasons. Mm-hmm. They were kind of the Freemasons of medieval England.
Okay.
And they were high up, quote unquote, celebrities and politicians. And
they were well-known.
Well-known individuals who under the cover of darkness met and had ceremonies and virgin sacrifices were, So, moving objects, thrown items, scratches, EVPs, full body apparitions, attacks, sexual assaults, terrorized family members, terrorized investigators, children have levitated off of the floor and been thrown out of the room. There is an endless roll call of your worst nightmares.
Sounds awful.
It sits on ground soaked with endless blood of pagans and those who worship and call upon something darker than we can even imagine. And it is crossed by the spiritual power of the ley lines. And it just provides an endless food supply for the dark energy that lives here. And if you ever find yourself there, beg for mercy.
Ooh. Ooh, it's so scary.
I couldn't sleep.
I bet. Oh my God.
The videos of Unilad.
Okay.
Did a paranormal investigation there. There's so many. And every single person who leaves is like, I will never go back. They've never experienced like an energy like that anywhere else.
No. And look, it's one thing to say you got pushed or you got shoved or you felt something or you heard something. You got a feeling, but to claim a sexual assault by a demon, that's already on like a different level. But you understand full well that people are going to think that you're crazy when you say that.
And like, there's so many people who have experienced that in this home that it almost becomes like a numbers game. Like how many people are going to corroborate this same story. Mm-hmm. It's horrifying. And like, I think even in the worst of haunting situations, being like physically attacked, mm-hmm. even scratches.
Yeah.
Is so rare and requires so much
energy
from the other side for uh-huh. them to be able to affect a living person like that. And we as living people have like an inherent power over that realm.
Yeah.
For this,
it's like it doesn't matter.
No. And so John Humphreys and his wife originally made the bishop's room their bedroom. And when his wife and children left, mm-hmm. he never set foot in that room again. He sleeps down on the floor, on the first floor, in a sofa. And he has chairs lined up in front of the sofa to protect him from being physically attacked because a ghost pulled the chairs out of the way and that wakes him up.
Oh my gosh. You would think that but you would think that that kind of a energy, if it is a succubus or incubus, like you would think that they wouldn't have to move the chairs. Like maybe they just do that for scare.
And who's to say if you believe every single ounce of this, who's to say, like, because John believes in mm-hmm. this and subscribes to it and is aware of the spiritual warfare. So I don't know how much more that feeds into
their power.
Exactly. What's mm-hmm. actually happening in the home if somebody subscribes to it and knows it and then is willing to sit through that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what is it now? It's just a building that he looks after?
His daughter is now the sole caretaker. It is still there. You can tour it. It is 25 euros to walk through. It's a, like, we have, like, historically preserved sites in the U.S. It's like a level 2 site in the U.K.
Tear it down.
No, it's no. That's what I'm saying. It's historically protected. It's one of the oldest buildings.
It's fucking haunted.
Well, what isn't haunted in Europe?
Okay, but that is not just haunted. That is an actual possession of a standing location, I feel like is different. These are out to hurt people. Not just be your average run-of-the-mill ghost.
Well, you can't stay the night there. You can't. You can just walk through. And they don't do, like, night tours of it. Paranormal investigators have to, like, request a certain level of clearance to be able to go through the site.
All right.
And Carolyn has to, like, sign off for somebody to stay there.
Okay.
But, I mean, if the UK government is going to, like, provide sanctions like that and admit that ghosts are real, they better get to admitting about aliens.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's terrifying. That's a different level of scary.
So, hope you have fun sleeping tonight.
Yeah. I hope that you enjoyed those tales of horror and death.
Of ooey gooey spooky stuff.
Yeah. All the badness. Badness everywhere.
Yeah.
Follow us on the things. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Instagram.
At A Little Bit Grim Pod.
Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook group.
A Little Bit Grim.
Yep. Come join us. There's a lot of fun in there. A lot of memes.
We have such a blast.
Oh my gosh. All the memes.
We have a lot of really great people in there right now.
Yeah. They're really nice. So come join us there. We have a Twitter that is A Little Bit Grim Pod 1.
Mm-hmm.
And
rate us on the things if you like us. If you don't like us, don't rate
us. Yeah. If you don't like us, don't do anything. If you do like us, do all the things.
If you don't like us, how are you on episode 7? We promise to continue making big moves, and there should be a new episode coming out ASAP.
Yeah.
So keep on listening.
Yeah, episodes come out every Friday, and then we're doing our grab bag episode on the first Tuesday of every month.
Yes.
So stay tuned for those, and always feel free to give us feedback. Like, send us a DM, let us know what you like, what you don't like, any suggestions.
Slide into those DMs. We're open.
Yeah, and then if you have any of your personal stories you want us to share, you can email those to alittlebitgrim@gmail.com, or feel free to just send us those in DMs as well.
Yeah.
That's fine, too. So, yeah, we can't wait to hear from you. Goodbye!